Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. Thankful that you've chosen to be here. We've got several visitors today, and thankful that you're here as well. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. As Brad said, our lesson this morning, faith over self, or myself. Specifically, we think about ourselves and how many times do we get to where we think highly of our own opinions or highly of the things that we do and that we trust in those things then, and we start to put all of that trust in ourselves. And when we think about the fact that we can't do anything outside of ourselves in order to be able to get to heaven, then there's not a need for us to put that type of faith in us and what we can do, but rather putting that faith in God. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, notice beginning in verse number 5, the writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Notice that what comes from trusting in God, not to being wise in our own eyes, but notice that health that comes. And we look more at that here in just a moment, but the incredible part always about God's Word, as we study it, as we get into it, as we take a look at making that application to our lives, that every single time when we step away from self, God always directs those paths, and He always has a result that takes place from us following in Him. It's never just left up to, you'll have to wait and see what will take place and happen for you. No, there's always a result that comes from following after God, and that result always, always is better for us. When we take a look here in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at me at Isaiah 26, and I'll tell you now, I hope that you're prepared to turn to Scripture today, because we're going to be turning quite a bit to look at Scripture and what God's Word has to tell us. Here in Isaiah chapter 26, they have begun to praise God and actually to sing that song of salvation, knowing what's going to happen and take place, that there will be captivity that is going to come. Here in verse 4, of Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah writes, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength, strength that will never depart, strength that will never go away." It is everlasting. At times we think of the song that we sing, that Rock of Ages. This is that strength that comes. This is what we are talking about. That's who God is for all ages, from the beginning of time to this very moment that we are in now. That's what God is when we trust in Him. He is that rock for us to stand on. He is that rock for us to put our lives in, to be able to have that trust in God. In Psalm 118, the psalmist has this same type of idea of making sure that we trust in the Lord and we put our hope and everything that we have in Him. Psalm 118, beginning in verse 8, the psalmist writes, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." So even if you look at those that would be, in man's opinion, elevated, like a prince, somebody that has authority. Notice here, it's always better to trust in the Lord than any type of man. Ourselves, those that have worldly or earthly authority, don't put your trust in them. Always putting our trust in God, standing firm with Him. And finally, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We think about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning there in verse number 17, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You notice there that they may lay up for themselves a good foundation in the time to come, not in this life, not in this age, but in that age that is to come. And he says, don't trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. I had an uncle that, or a great uncle, he loved the stock market. He loved it. And there was a catastrophic day that came. And my dad had called him needing to ask him a question. And he said his voice was awful. And he said, what's the matter with you? And he said, I've lost about $2 million today. I'm not having a very good day. Lost $2 million. What happened? He said, well, 9/11 happened. Are you just now coming to this realization? He said, no. He said, I had put all of that in there and this happened. And now I've lost all of this money. He said, but you know, the thing is, I know that hopefully it will be okay. But you know, never did he recover all the way from that loss. All he could think about, all that he dwelt on. Again, this is those uncertain riches. These are a shaky foundation. Notice in verse 19 that there is a good foundation. It's not here in this life. That good foundation is Christ here so that we can get to eternal life. It's in that age to come, that life to come. Not in man, not in the uncertainty of riches, and certainly not in anything physical in this life that we could put trust in to get us to heaven. We've got to make sure that we set that good foundation of living a godly life, a life in which God is put first. That's the foundation that we should be standing upon so that we can enjoy that life that is to come. Again, that is not here that we see. You think about going back to Proverbs 3 there in verse 5. You don't lean on your own understanding. I want you to notice something with all of our heart there. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All of our heart requires everything that we have. I want you to think about this. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. And I want you to think about here these words that God gives to Jeremiah. And what he thinks of you and I every single day. And what he desires for us every single day. Here in Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse number 11. Actually, we'll back up to verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you, perform my good word towards you, and cause you to return to this place. Why? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's our part, our responsibility. Notice there that God says, you're going to seek me, you're going to find me. I know the thoughts that I have toward you. I hope that you kids remember this. This is memory verse from our VBS this past summer. Look at what God says. I know the thoughts that I have. Good and not evil. Peace. Why? Because what I desire and what I want for you is I want to give you a better place. I want to give you that hope. I will have a future for you. Something for you to look forward to. Again, it's not here. It's in this, when this life is over. It's in the next life. Always, God is looking for that betterment for us. If you look at Psalm 119, and we think about searching for Him with all our heart. Psalm 119. The longest, quote-unquote, chapter in the Bible. Pay attention to how it begins. Psalm 119, beginning right here in verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. We talked about this a little bit in our class this morning. We don't want to be ashamed when Christ returns. Instead, we want to be able to have that confidence in him when he returns. Well, that confidence only comes when we spend time searching out his ways. And again, notice here, I follow with my whole heart, all of my heart, I'm desiring to follow after you. I'm not putting myself first. I'm not putting anything in my desires ahead of you. Instead, I am seeking after your word, your precepts. I'm diligent with my whole heart to make sure that I am studying you. I will seek him with the whole heart. There again is the responsibility that we have. And what comes from that? God does not forsake those who follow after him. God instead lifts them up. Staying there in Psalm 119, go down to verse number 33. Verse number 33, Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Observe is to put into practice. What I observe, what I see, what you give to me in your word, in your statutes, your commandments, I will put them in place, and I will do so with my whole heart. I'm again not putting myself here. I'm putting all of what God would have me to do. My whole heart goes into it. I don't get to keep back a portion of it. You know, I remember a buddy of mine. He was going to propose to his girlfriend. He was going to ask her to marry him. And he said, I will love you with my whole heart. I will love you with everything. There will be no one that I've ever dated in the past who will have a piece of my heart. Everything that I have, I give to you. You know, it's pretty easy for us guys to understand what he's talking about. And I hope, ladies, it's easy for you to understand that as well and what you get to see. But let me tell you something. My wife doesn't come ahead of God. You understand? She doesn't come ahead of God. I love her. I want absolute best for her. But I know that with me wanting the absolute best for her, God's going to have to be loved with my whole heart so that I can lead her in that way. That's what it looks like. That's what here the psalmist is writing about. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Teach me your word so that I can observe, put it into practice with my whole heart. There's the responsibility that we have. Look at Mark chapter 12 and some verses that I know are very familiar to us. But here in Mark chapter 12, and you can see this in Matthew's account as well. I just like the way that Mark puts this better. Mark chapter 12, beginning there in verse number 29. He has been asked, which is the first commandment of all? And notice in verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I love him with everything. Heart, mind, soul, my being, my way of life, my movement of life demonstrates that type of love. And while, yes, there are going to be times I'm going to stumble, there are going to be times I'm going to make mistakes, it is not the manner of life that I have. My manner of life is that I live for him, that I put him first, that I walk in his ways. This right here today is where we are taught those statutes and those commandments. So it's right here that I have to spend time every day being diligent to be able to observe those things, to be taught his ways so that I can put those into practice. But I have to do it with all my heart. When I'm doing so with all my heart, I don't lean on my own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 28, notice here. Proverbs chapter 28, what Solomon has to write. We begin in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 28. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. That walking wise is not leaning on our own understanding. Instead, it is following after the word of God, making sure that I'm doing what is pleasing unto him so that he can see that in my life. Look at Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Verse number 13. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. Notice, you have plowed wickedness and reaped iniquity. Why? Because you trusted in your own way. Because you trusted in the multitude of men. You didn't put your trust in God. You put your trust in yourself. You put your trust in man. Where'd it get you? Nowhere with God. Pay attention to how he says this. What you have sown. When we think about the sower in the parable that Jesus gives, that he has gone out and he has sowed the seed. Maybe it's fallen on hard ground. Maybe it's fallen in a place where somebody starts to believe in the word of God, but then they turn away from it when things get too difficult. Or maybe it lands on that good soil where it's taken in and it's put into practice every single day. We don't choose. We don't get to pick and choose and say, well, that person, that's probably good soil. That person over there is probably not so good, so I'm not going to be spreading the word of God there. No, we are to sow God's word. He's the one that at all times will give the increase. But here, because what they have sown is wickedness, they have reaped iniquity. Everything that they have plowed, meaning that they have buried deep, they have planted deep. This is everything that they have behind what they have done. They have reaped iniquity, eaten the fruit of lies, trusted in themselves and in man, not trusting in God. Brethren, we have no business doing and following the example that those in Hosea's day had set. Instead, we need to make sure that we follow after what God would have us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, pay attention to what he says. He begins by giving them these Old Testament examples, even of Moses and the children of Israel as they depart Egypt, going through the midst of the Red Sea. When you think about these examples of those that fell because they followed after their own wills and their own desires, here in 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 11, now all these examples happened to them as examples. All these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Look at their example of those that would have fallen in the wilderness, of those who would have been puffed up and prideful, of those who would have put themselves ahead of God. What happened and what took place? They fell. And these are written for our learning, our instruction, so that we can follow after those examples or look at those examples and not follow after those things that they had done. Our responsibility is not to lean on our own understanding, but always on the precepts of God. Verse 6 of Proverbs 3 says that in all our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Not in what ways we think are best. We don't get to pick and choose and say, well, I think I know best here. I don't know best there, so I'll follow God. But God doesn't know my life as well as I do. No, God knows my life better than I do. He knows me better than I know myself. And therefore, in all my ways, I am to acknowledge him, meaning that I look to him. I set my path according to his standard, to his word, not what I believe is to be best for me. I set it according to him. We think about James. He talks about those who would
buy and sell and trade in such and such a city. We'll go there for a year and we'll spend time and this is what will happen. He says, you've neglected the most important part. You trusted in self. If the Lord wills, we will do those things. I will follow after God's will. I understand we have things that we have to do in this life to provide for us and our families and those, but we need to make sure that God is the one directing those paths. In Proverbs 32, beginning in verse number 8. I'm sorry. Psalm 32. My bad. I looked at Proverbs. Sorry. Psalm 32. Beginning there in verse 8. Psalm 32, beginning in verse 8. Here the psalmist writes, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. He gives this example of horses and mules, those that have to be caught, bridled, in order to be shown where to go. God says, I will lead. I will lead you. He is the one who will teach you in the way that you should go. I will instruct you. I will help you to be able to know what you are to do, how you are to be living your life, and what manner of life you should be living. Look at Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Notice verse number 14. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. We talk about God's plan of salvation and living faithful unto death. Here, notice that God leads all the way. He doesn't leave it up to us to guess what He would have us to do. God is the one who will be our guide even to death or up to death. That is the way that God will always make sure that He leads us forever, for all time. God will be that leader for us. If you look at John 10, we think about Jesus being that good shepherd in our lives. John 10 helps to spell out what He does for us in our life as that good shepherd, always giving us that example, that voice that we are able then to follow after. If I acknowledge Him in all of my ways, notice His role in my life. Here in John 10, beginning in verse 1, Jesus speaking says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out his own sheep, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Why is that such a big deal? Look at verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Are we that way with Jesus in our life? That we will follow after His word? That there is nothing else? When somebody tries to teach or to preach something false, when somebody tries to teach or to preach something that is against the word of God, that we will be able to say, no, that's not correct. That's not the one that we should be following after. But rather, I've got to be following God, His word, making sure that I stand strong with Him. Jesus here says, the sheep know my voice. I enter by the door. I don't have to climb over anything. I'm not a thief. I'm not a robber. Even the person opening the door knows who I am. He lets me in. I call my sheep by name. I know them. They know me. They follow me. They're not going to follow anyone else. You know, it's comforting to know that Jesus, when we are allowing Him to direct our ways, He knows us and we know Him. We pay attention to Him and He leads us by His word. We are told in Proverbs 3 and verse 7, don't be wise. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. If you go back to Proverbs, this time chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. there in verse number 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. He puts that trust in himself. He is self-confident. A wise man here fears and departs from evil. We let God direct our paths. We fear Him and we shun evil. We've talked about this before, but in Job chapter 1 and verse number 1, you think about the way that Job is described. Job chapter 2 and verse number 3, Job is described there by God in the same way. He is blameless and he is upright. He fears God and shuns evil. Runs away from evil. Anything that is ungodly comes anywhere near him, he is running the opposite direction. We're to be that same way. That instead of allowing ourselves to be drawn away by our own desires, we're not wise in our own eyes. We fear God and shun evil. We don't take to heart our opinions. Nowhere in Scripture does God ever ask for it. God instead commands us what we can and cannot do. He commands us how we are to love one another, treat one another. We don't get to be wise in our own eyes. We don't lean on our own understanding. Instead, we fear God and shun evil, meaning that we always do as God would have us to. Peter spells this out for us in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice with me there, beginning in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Peter is writing to the church, writing to Christians, and he's telling them what their life is to look like. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Nowhere else. Only in God. When we think about fearing God and shunning evil, we remember that we are not redeemed with silver and gold. We're redeemed with that precious blood of Jesus Christ. We can understand and see that God gave the absolute best for us. And what he expects from us in verse 16, "Be holy, for I am holy," he can absolutely require of us. Because what he gave was the best, he desires our best as well. And if I am trusting in myself, I'm not giving God my best. If I'm not fearing him, revering him, putting him first in my life, then I'm not putting him in his proper place. Instead, rather what I'm doing is I'm saying, "Well, if Corey thinks it's good enough, then that's what we'll go ahead and do." I'm not going to get anywhere. My faith and my hope, not in Corey. My faith and hope are in God. He's the one who is able to reward us. He's the one who is able to deliver us, not me, not ourselves. You see, we have to have that faith over ourselves, following after what God would always have us to do. And what we receive is that spiritual help. Look with me at Proverbs 4 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 4, and you think about how he ends here in verse 8, "It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." What we receive, what we get from God, is something that builds us up and makes us so much stronger than we could ever be on our own. Here in Proverbs 4, beginning in verse number 20, Solomon writes, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. These verses, very similar to what we've looked at in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. My responsibility as a Christian, as a child of God, to take in His Word, to heed it, to make application, to keep it at the forefront. You know, go back to thinking about horses for a moment. One of the things they put on horses, other than just those bridles, are blinders, so that they can't see everything going on out here, but rather they stay focused on what they're supposed to be focusing on, that path in front of them. Not turning their head to look at everything around them, but rather straight ahead. We need to be the same way as children of God. Not heeding the things of this world, but rather putting on those blinders that keep us focused on doing what God would have us to do. We need to make sure and understand that that's the spiritual health that that leads to. Look with me at 3 John and the lesson will be yours. 3 John. These words that John is writing to Gaius. I think about these words. And I think if John was writing to me, if my name was Gaius, or if he was writing to Corey, would he be able to say the same thing? Would he be able to write to me in the same manner? This morning, I would ask you to think about you. Do you have faith over yourself, or do you put faith in yourself? Think about these words. 3 John, beginning in verse 1, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." No greater joy is brought than for a child of God to hear that his brethren walk in the truth, that do the same, that they practice it. May your physical health be as good as your spiritual health. You see, following and walking in truth, that's what gives us that spiritual health. That's what gives us that glow to everybody around us. We are that light to them. And what we do when we follow not after ourselves but after God and walk in truth is we lift up those around us, especially our brethren. John here writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, that they follow God's word." No greater joy. Why? Because it's uplifting, it's encouraging, and it's what we get to do for one another when we are following and letting God direct our path. Following His Word, His truth. Is that what you follow today? If you put yourself in place of Gaius, what's your spiritual health look like? Do you follow in that truth? Or the things in your life that you need to change? You go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and I would encourage you to read verses 5 through 8 this week. I would encourage you to take a look at your life honestly. Is it God that directs your paths, or is it you? Do you put your faith and your trust in His Word, in the truth, or do you put it in self? Perhaps this morning you think about your life and there are things in your life that need to change. Perhaps right now you think about your life, and while we say that Jesus is Lord, we've not made Him that. We have not put Him first in our life. And there are things in our life that need to change. We need to become a child of His. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. It causes us in John 8:24 to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to be willing to repent of our sins, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. It's commanded by God for all men everywhere to repent. We're willing then to confess Him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus makes it clear. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. We're willing to submit to His will. We are buried with Him in baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where His blood washes away our sins. We have that forgiveness of sin. We rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. Perhaps this morning you need to become a child of God. Or perhaps as a child of God, you think about your life and you've become pretty dependent on self instead of having that faith in God. And there are things that you need to change. If we can help you in any way today, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.